Jayam Vishnu Paramahamsa Parivrajakata Asto Tarasatu Shishimani Sivayanga Savai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Iskon Buddhist Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Dayananda Kota Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sigaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shibashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Simayapa Dham Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamunamai Ki Jai Bhaktidevi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Sri Harinam Sankitan Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Jai Nitai Go Premanandi Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Sri Guru. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 18, Text number 6. Ritu Maharaj milks the earth planet. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pura Srishta Hi Osadhyo Brahmana Ya Ishampate Bhujamana Maya Drishta Asadbir Adhrita Vratai Pura Shistai Osadhyam Brahmanaya Vishampate Uchamana Maya Drishta Osadhi Adhrita Vratai Pura Shistai Osadhyam Brahmanaya Vishampate Ujjamana maya drishta Asadbir adrita pratay Borashistai osadham Brahmana yadishampate Ujjamana maya drishta Asadbir adrita pratay Pura Shistai Osadhyo Brahmanaya Vishampate Ujjamana Maya Tishta Asati Radhika Pratay Pura Shistai Osadhyo Brahmanaya Vishampate Uyamana maya drishta Asarati Adhita
Adrita
Pratae Pura Shistahi Shodayo Pura Shistahi O Sadayo ब्राह्मणाया विशम्पते दूषमाना मया तिष्ठा आशाभिराजिता प्रताये पुराशिष्टा यो सदा ब्राह्मणा विशम्पते दूषमाना मया तिष्ठा Pura, in the past, Srishta, created, he, certainly, Usharhaya, herbs and food grains, Brahmana, by Lord Brahma, Dhyā, all those which, Vishampate, O King, Bhujya Manaha, being enjoyed, Maya, by me, Drishtaha, seen, Ashadbhi, by non-devotees, Adrita Bharataya, devoid of all spiritual activities. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, the Bhaitarana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear King, the seeds, roots, herbs and grains which were created by Lord Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. Please repeat. My dear King, the seeds, roots, herbs and grains which were created by Lord Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. Lord Brahma created this material world for the use of the living entities, but it was created according to a plan that all living entities who might come into it to dominate it for sense gratification would be given directions by Lord Brahma in the Vedas in order that they might ultimately leave it and return home back to Godhead. All necessities grown on earth, namely fruits, flowers, trees, grains, animals and animal byproducts, were created for use in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. However, the planet Earth, in the shape of a cow, hearing submits that all these utilities are being used by non-devotees who have no plans for spiritual understanding. Although there are immense potencies within the Earth for the production of grains, fruits and flowers, this production is checked by the Earth itself when it is misused by non-devotees who have no spiritual goals. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything can be used for His satisfaction. Things should not be used for the sense gratification of the living entities. This is the whole plan of material nature, according to the directions of this material nature. In this verse, the word Ashadbhi and Adrita Bratai are important. The word Ashadbhi refers to the non-devotees. The non-devotees have been described in the Bhagavad Gita as Duskritina, miscreants, Mudha, asses or rascals, Naradama, the lowest of mankind, and Maya Paharita Jnana, those who have lost their knowledge due to the power of the illusory energy. All these persons are Asat, non-devotees. Non-devotees are also called Griha Brata, whereas a devotee is called Drita Brata. The whole Vedic plan is that the misguided conditioned souls who have come to lord it over the material nature should be trained to become Drita Brata. This means they should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. Activities intended to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, are called Krishnarthe, Akila Chetasa. This indicates that one can attempt all kinds of work, but it should be done so to satisfy Krishna. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Yagnartat Karma. The word Yagna indicates Lord Vishnu. We should work only for his satisfaction. In modern times, Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten Vishnu altogether, and they conduct their activities for sense gratification. Such people will gradually become poverty-stricken, for they cannot use things which are to be enjoyed by the Supreme Lord for their own sense gratification. If they continue like this, there will ultimately be a state of poverty, with no grains, fruits, or flowers will be produced. Indeed, it is stated in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that at the end of Kali Yuga, people will be so polluted that there will no longer be any grains, wheat, sugar cane, or milk. Om Akyant Virandasya Tinanjanan Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Dina Tasmeshu Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama Ram Ram Hari Hari. So Mother Earth is making her prayers to Pitu Maharaj. Pitu Maharaj was chastised her heavily. I mean, like, so heavily he was going to kill her. He's ready to kill her. So she's offering some prayers and excuses. He's not listening to these excuses, or he's counteracting excuses with higher principles. That I can kill you is no problem. Even you're in the form of a cow, a mother. You're not doing your duty properly. So I have every right to kill you. So he's accusing her, you're disobeying my orders, I'm the king. It's not, although I'm, well, he wasn't a Vaina, King Vaina, he was a good king. So you should abide by the king. The king is the representative of God on earth. But you're disobeying my orders. Simultaneously, he said, you're accepting your share of the jagna. You're eating grass as being supplied by nature. You're eating it, but you're not giving anything back from it. So you're accepting your shares, but you're not producing any food grains. She's keeping the stock within themselves. She's not. And also you're not producing milk. You're not filling up your milk bags to give grains and milk. These are nourishment for people. So you're not doing your duty. So therefore I have every right to kill you. What's the use of living? You have a duty to perform, even just on the plea of being a woman or in a woman's form, that I should be... You shouldn't be killed. Well, what use is it? You're not doing your duty as how you're supposed to do it. So, so in this way, Pritu Maharaj is accusing Mother Earth as she's willfully not doing her duty. So therefore, she's being very offensive. So therefore, I have every right to kill you. I'm not a fault if I kill you. And even if I do kill you, I can, by my own prowess, I can maintain the world. Pritu was that powerful. She said, if you kill me, what's going to happen to the earth? He said, don't worry about that. I can substitute for that. I can make up for that with my power. So he was a completely, such a powerful personality, Shaktivesh Avatar. Anyway, this is how his accusations now of Mother Earth is offering prayers back. He's still not pacified. He's trembling. His lips are trembling. He's really ready to go with that sword. So then she's the last little explanation. And then Mother Earth completely reverses his argument and throws it back on Pritu Maharaj. And her argument is that the grains that I'm supposed to reproduce, they're meant for Jagannath. But they're not being used for Jagannath. They're being used by the non-devotees. Non-devotees are taking everything and using it for their own sense gratification. It should be used for Jagannath, but they're using it for sense gratification. So, instead of becoming purified, spiritualized, they're all going to hell because they've forgotten Jagannath, they're not worshipping Vishnu, and they're simply using it for sense gratification. So therefore I'm hiding all these grains in my body. So then she says, well, why are you not doing your duty? You're accusing me of not doing my duty. Why are you not doing your duty? You're a king, but you're neglecting me. I'm also one of your citizens. I'm an important citizen. I'm Mother Earth. I maintain millions of people. But why are you not protecting me? You're allowing the non-devotees to come and eat all the grains. And they're not going to offer in sacrifice. You should be aware of this. You should be alert of what's happening. And you should give me protection. Therefore I say you're not doing your duty. You should punish all these rascals. That is your duty. You're a king. You should punish them. So she had a good point there. She put in by her logic that you're accusing me of not doing my duty, but you're not doing your duty. Otherwise, why the miscreants, the rascals, the nonsense, non-devotees are eating all the grains and not performing Jagannath? You should be aware. You should make sure it's happening. This is the duty of a king. So we see then. I think Priti doesn't say anything after that. He thought it was a pretty good argument. So she says, you can milk me like this. She gives an instruction how to milk. So he goes ahead and follows her advice. So this is the situation today. Prabhupada said, everybody's forgotten Jagannath. Everybody's forgotten Vishnu. Who is to be remembered? This is the whole purpose of the Vedas. It is Vishnu who is to be remembered, nothing else throughout the Vedas. But everybody is forgotten, Prabhupada says. Everybody is forgotten. In modern times, Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten Vishnu altogether. And it's a fact. I never heard the name Vishnu until I was at least 25 or 26 years old. But Vishnu doesn't, the name doesn't exist in the Western countries. You don't hear it. I never heard the name of Vishnu until I was in my 20s. Due to Prabhupada's grace. You've got people chanting Hare Krishna, but otherwise I'd never heard the name of Vishnu. So Vishnu, but Vishnu is, we're supposed to know Vishnu from the very beginning of birth. Here in Purple Prabhupada's talking, there's a plan about creation. Lord Brahma created this material world for use of the living entities, but it was created according to a plan that all the living entities who might come in to dominate it for sense gratification will be given directions by Lord Brahma in the Vedas in order that they might ultimately leave it and return back home, back to Godhead. Then he says, everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of God and everything can be used for his satisfaction. Things should not be used for sense gratification of the living entities. That is the whole plan of material nature, according to the directions of this material nature. Then again he says, the whole Vedic plan is that the misguided conditioned souls who have come into this world to lord it over the material nature should be trained to become Dhrira-vrata. It means they should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy sense material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the education, Vedic education that comes along with the universe. The universe is created. Prabhupada said, like you buy a new machine or a car or any kind of, you get a manual, operator's manual, how you can use this machine. So similarly, when the universe is created, you get a manual with it. That is the Vedas. How to use this universe? And this is how to use it. First you offer everything to Vishnu. And then you can enjoy the remnants. Prabhupada saying you can't enjoy it. He says those who they should, that the, all living energy should become Drita Vrata. This means they should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So first Krishna has to be satisfied, then we can satisfy our senses. So we want sense gratification. We have to eat, but sense gratification. So first we offer the grains to Vishnu, then we eat, so we are satisfied. So sense gratification is not being denied here, but everything first should be offered as a sacrifice to Krishna. So the whole Vedic plan is like that. Any kind of activity, a samskara or something, it involves worshipping Vishnu, remembering Vishnu. Sense gratification in marriage is allowed. But you see all the prayers and everything in the Vivaha samskara, it's all about Vishnu, satisfying Vishnu, seeing Vishnu as the ultimate enjoyer of everything, and doing everything for satisfaction. So enjoyment is not being denied. In fact, Prabhupada is so liberal. The Vedas are liberal, but Prabhupada is so liberal. In a few purports ago, he was saying, sanctioning eating meat. You can't eat meat. That sounds horrible. Prabhupada, how can Prabhupada say you're eating meat? But there, under certain circumstances, you can eat meat. He said, that's if there's no grains. Pretty much, said, there are no grains and people are starving, I'm going to cut you into millions of pieces and feed you to the people. Are we just going to give them meat also? And Prabhupada said, yeah, in extreme cases, because human life is much more important than animal life, so better that we can sacrifice animals to keep the human population alive. You won't advance much in a society if there are only animals, but humans, they know the progressive values of life. They're Aryan. Animals, they cannot. So you can kill lower animals. And Prabhupada said, you can kill the cow when it's old, dry it up, not giving it, because it's got to get old sometime. They're killing animals now, slaughtering so many animals. Well, those animals are going to get old anyway and useless. They can't supply any milk anymore. So at least why not eat those? If there's nothing else to eat. But Prabhupada said, of course today there is ample stock. So why they're opening slaughterhouses? Why the government is sanctioning all this? Why the government is actually sanctioning activities that are completely against the Vedic plan? But in emergency and in circumstances, yes. In Prabhupada's view, saying, you can eat meat under special circumstances. One time Prabhupada was in Tehran, and there was some commotion going out in the street, so he could hear the noise in his room. He said, what's happening out there? The devotee looked down and said, Prabhupada, they're killing a goat. And Prabhupada said, oh. And then I think someone who stayed there in Tehran, they knew the customs. He said, when they slaughtered the goat, Prabhupada, they pointed its head towards Mecca. And Prabhupada said, oh, very good, that's very good. And I said, why? Why it's good, Prabhupada, they're killing a goat, that's not good. No, no, but because they're remembering Vishnu, they're remembering Allah, they're pointing the goat's face to Mecca, they're offering it as a sacrifice. So the conception of offering something as a sacrifice before to God before you eat it, that's a very good thing. So Prabhupada said, yes, very good thing. The devotees were surprised. So that's the conception, but it's a fact. We don't remember Vishnu, we've never even heard of Vishnu. If you're born outside of India, yeah. But of course the Vedic culture is still present in India. This is the glory of India. This is the gift that India has to give to the world. Prabhupada said, India is now going to the Western countries, give us your technology. Going like beggars. give us your technology. He's there sitting on diamonds, and they're going, give us some pieces of your broken glass. He said, but you have the real gift here, the real culture, the real gift for the world. This is what the world is lacking. And everybody is looking to India for this knowledge. When it comes to knowledge, knowledge of karma, knowledge of reincarnation, knowledge of yoga, everybody looks to India. They recognize India as a great spiritual leader, leading country. But Prabhupada, unfortunately, most of the Indians are going to the West to get their technology. So Radhi Shyam and all of his groups here, these are training. Training those people are looking for broken glass, he's giving them diamonds. And they're giving to others. He's trained in such a way that they go out and give to others. He's a real gem, a real purpose of life, the real gems of life. So it's very encouraging to see that. Unbelievable, actually. A few years ago, we couldn't have imagined it. 600, how many? 800? Educated students from college. But it's something quite natural. When you come in contact with truth, you cannot deny it. So this is Radhi Shyam's expert program. You bring it in contact with the truth. Association of devotees chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam in their faces. Just simply that by their living with devotees and then going out to college during the day, they have to become devotees because Krishna consciousness is truth. They cannot deny it. They feel it's truth. And then when they see all of their plans for their careers, they say, there's broken glass. What we're feeling here is what we're really searching for. It's truth. But I am Krishna's eternal servant. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should be engaged in this, not chasing after this birth and death business. So it's automatic. It's automatic. If anybody goes through this process, he must change because he feels the truth. Some people are too covered that they obviously won't. But anyway, this is a result of it, you see. So, otherwise, as Prabhupada said in yesterday's purport, it's all, everything becomes like speculation. Foolish persons who manufacture their own ways and means through mental speculation. They do not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down the unimpeachable directions. Those persons are simply unsuccessful again and again in their attempts. So this is like the whole world is mental speculation. Practically. All they're teaching in schools and colleges is mental speculation. Because they haven't come to the proper conclusion. We should be serving Krishna. And you see all these plans and speculations in any kind of university, all the different departments, you follow it. What is the end? Does it come to give you Krishna service? No. Then it's mental speculation. It's not going to do any good for anyone. It's simply going to keep everybody bound up in the cycle of birth and death. So this is the position of the world. It's them. Everybody is foolish person manufacturing their own ways and means through mental speculation. That's all that's going on in this world. Krishna consciousness is the only truth in this world. The Prabhupada is establishing that. So they don't recognize your authority. We were on the Chardhan Yatra and we were meeting different sadhus and things like that. Everyone we spoke to, they were kind of bewildered. Ultimately they were practically Mayavadi, 99.9%. We didn't meet one devotee, and I guess there must have been some, but we didn't meet one. But there's millions and millions and millions of sadhus on the road. They're walking up, because it's a place of pilgrimage, Kedarnath, Badrinath, Gangotri, Jamuna Gotri. They're famous places of pilgrimage, so naturally you expect sadhus to go. But there's millions and millions of sadhus going there, and actually anywhere in India. you will see disciples walking around with their saffron cloth, they got a blanket around their back, on their back, and they got long hair and beards. And there's millions and millions, they're looking for the truth. But everyone we spoke to, hadn't come to the proper conclusion. That's austere. In fact, when we were traveling around in India, when I first came to India, we were on a sadhu kind of trip and following their example and wandering around a piece of cloth like that. And I thought it was great, you know, but it was more of an adventure, you know. It was something new, everything was new and exciting and adventurous and things like that. You know, like I hadn't set my, this is, you know, I'm going to spend my rest of my life here on the road looking, you know, and searching for God and wandering here and there. But when I saw these old sadhus, and many of them are old, and they've given up everything, it meant something to them. For me, it didn't mean anything. I was only about 1 year in India. But it was exciting, and it wasn't my long-term goal. But these people, you can see, they're old men. And they've actually taken to renouncing. They're probably not going to go back. They're still searching. And they're not cutting their hair. And where are they going to stay the next night? Where are they going to eat? I had a lot more appreciation for these guys. But still, everyone we spoke to, they hadn't come to the proper conclusion that they're Krishna's servants. And most of them, their goal was to enjoy Krishna's bliss, spiritual bliss. That was the goal. Even they're approaching God, which is good, they're searching. But most of them, the goal was to enjoy the spiritual bliss. It wasn't a conception of service to Krishna. And all of the ones we spoke to. So they're all still misguided. Bahunam Jamananti, after thousands and thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani, when we come to the point of understanding Vasudeva Sarvam, Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead, then I should surrender to Him as His servant. That's your conclusion of thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani, a sadhu. That's the beginning of your spiritual life. So they're more interested in, you know, the bliss of ultimately Brahma. And Krishna says of those who achieve that platform, those siddhas who attain that perfection, siddhai, hardly one of those, of thousands and thousands endeavoring for the truth, one may actually understand what is Brahman. He may enjoy his own spiritual nature. But out of thousands of those, hardly one knows me in truth. Oh, it's rare, right? But it's made easy when the pure devotee is around and preaching it. We can see it. All the different countries around the world, how many thousands of people are now, they're taking to Krishna consciousness because of the grace of the devotee. Otherwise, it's a very, very rare thing. So it's when the devotee comes that he can propagate this, the truth, the absolute truth, that Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. When Prabhupada was lecturing on that verse, Bahunam Jamananti, after thousands and thousands of births, searching for truth, being a jnani, one comes to this point of accepting Krishna, Vasudeva Sarvam. Samahatana Shuddha. He's a rare soul. And it took him thousands of births. Now Prabhupada said, I'm telling you now, Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. You should surrender to Him. If you hear me, and you act on that, and you accept, and you surrender to Krishna, He said you will skip that thousands and thousands of births. Because the conclusions of thousands and thousands of births is searching, is that you accept Vasudeva Sat, Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead, and you will surrender to Him. Prabhupada said, I'm telling you now, you are the eternal servant of Krishna, accept Krishna as everything, surrender to Him. If you do that, you jump those thousands and thousands of births. So this is the benefit of meeting a pure devotee. Otherwise, if you don't meet a devotee, you have to go through those thousands and thousands of births. Otherwise, how a devotee could do Prabhupada do so much in the Western countries? I don't think the Western people have spent thousands and thousands of births of being searching for the truth. But they spent thousands and thousands of births searching for sense gratification. But Prabhupada was able to implant surrender to Krishna, and they did it. So this is a benefit. One moment's association with devotees. How much benefit we can get. Otherwise, it's all mental speculation, practically. Everyone. We went in one Ash Baba's, he said, right up in the mountain, he said, come here, I'll make you some roti. Put it on the fire and I'll give you some. We've come a long way, we were right on top of the mountain. Ash Baba, covered in ash and everything like that. I said, what's your sadhana? Don't have much sadhana, you know, they just do. Take a bath in the morning, put some ash on his body. They have a chillum, smoke a chillum. To tick off the time of the day, and it was kind of a ritualistic chillum. This means smoking the ganja, charas. And he said, my Guru Maharaj told me to read the Ganesh shlokas, and I said, Mahaprabhu came to give us the Harinam, 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 maybe give him Harinam, Harinam. So it's not necessary. He said, you know, we don't really accept that. We accept all names. All names. Why Hari? No, my Guru Maharaj told me to have Ganesh and worship Ganesh's name. He had his book of shlokas and for speculation. It's Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. It's not Shaktinam, Shaktinam, or it's Harinam. But he said, we don't be too strict, in other words. Shouldn't be so strict. Be more liberal. But what's the use of being liberal? Chant Ganesh's name, where are you going to go? Time of death. And there was another Ramanandi. Sadhu. I said, what do you do? He said, we study Bhagavatam. I thought, oh, fantastic. Hari Bol, we're Bhagavatam Bhaktas also. We study Bhagavatam also. He said. He was an out-and-out Mayavadi when he started speaking. He came in, the Ramanandis, they're an offshoot of Ramanuja Sampradaya. Ramanuja Sampradaya. So Ramanuja is a complete personless. He worshipped Lakshmi Narayana. Somehow or another, these Ramanandis, they split, that fraction split from Ramanuja and became worshippers of Ram, Sita Ram. Again, completely personal thing. So the original of that is the Lakshmi Narayana, and the offshoot is Sita Ram. They're both, but this guy, he said, I'm a Ramanandi. We thought, last we've met a devotee. He was an impersonalist, even though he doesn't even know his own philosophy. He doesn't know the philosophy of the Ramananda. He's accepted the philosophy. It doesn't really matter. And he's studying Bhagavatam. All bewildered, I was thinking we should print a little pamphlet with some of the essence, central things, and just go around giving to these sadhus on the road, because at least they're on the path, they're looking for truth. Give them some little pamphlet and give them a bit of direction and put Mayapur address or Pune address and so they can go and visit and meet our devotees. Because they're searching, but because of the whole world is under this, all mental speculation, there's no real preaching going on. So you can see how the tremendous effect that Prabhupada's had on the world. It really, really struck me, actually, you know, what Srila Prabhupada did. How beneficial it was. Prabhupada, you know, he just laid everything down as it is. No mental speculation. We simply accept it. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yeah, so there's a great need for this message of Krishna consciousness. So As Prabhupada took up this spirit, we should also take up this spirit. I was just reading this morning, Prabhupada was at one of his Vyas Puja offerings to his spiritual master, and it was addressed to his godbrothers, and he was heavy, Prabhupada was heavy, with his godbrothers. All of you come and unite now, don't sit in your temples ringing bells and preaching stop. Come and unite and look, make a plan, talk out a plan how you're going to attack, you know, Maya again and make this pure teaching strong. Otherwise you're all becoming Babaji's and renouncing. Now he was so bold, the Prabhupada was so bold with his, but this was before Prabhupada had went to the West and anything like that, but he was so heavy with his godbrothers about, you know, really getting together, coming together and doing something to help people. It's okay to sit back in temples and eat your rice, but what about everyone else? They're suffering, millions of people are suffering. So this is the Krishna Conscious Program that Prabhupada expected us to do, is to expand like anything. The only thing that's lacking in the material world, Prabhupada said, is Krishna Consciousness. There's plenty of everything else. So this is our mission. We have to give Krishna Consciousness to the whole world. I was asked to speak something about Jagannath. From now on I'll be speaking in a few minutes. Anyway, this was another contribution of Srila Prabhupada. He started the Rath Yatra festival around the world. So this is a fantastic thing that you can actually go and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, there's millions of people around the world. They see Jagannath. He looks like a totem pole or something like that. You know, they really can't figure out what it is. And they're coming from a background which says, you know, these are idol worshipping. But they when they see the devotees chanting, and they're spontaneous, they chant and dance. Even though it may look like some kind of idol or something, the deity of the Lord, especially the funky form of Jagannath with his big eyes. But they're actually serving Jagannath. They're pulling or they're dancing. And Shastra says you go back to Godhead. You go back to Vaikuntha simply by pulling the carp, by following the carp, by seeing the carp. It's not an underestimation. How many people can do it anyway, compared to the living entities in the universe? How many people on the planet will actually go? Not so many. But they actually benefit. They go back to Godhead. At least the path of liberation is open for them, if they want to go. Because ultimately, the choice is up to each individual. You want to go back to Godhead or not? We're reading these statements. You do this, you go back to Godhead. Take bath in this book, or you go back to Godhead. Visit this dharma, you go back. Still, it's up to the living entity to want to go. Krishna's not going to take him back if he doesn't want to go. But the path is open. You have to make the decision, ultimately, where you want to go. So also by Lord Jagannath's mercy I met the devotees. So and lots of people meet the devotees on at the Rath Yatra and things like that. So that was Prabhupada, he started this program of Rath Yatra to give the whole world now a chance. So in one lecture Prabhupada said, so I think it may have been maybe in Montreal, or it may have been in Washington. Anyway, Rath Yatra parade. And Prabhupada was giving an arrival address. He says, so ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you very much for attending this festival. You have seen it's a very wonderful thing. And you have seen it's quite a natural thing. Everybody was simply chanting and dancing. We didn't pay anyone to come or anything like that. But we have seen quite naturally hundreds and thousands of people were dancing and chanting and pulling Jagannath's rath, even the small children. He says, so this is a very, very natural thing. It's a function of the soul. Otherwise, why spontaneously small children are doing that? You can't expect a small child to sit down and do yoga for about more than 3 seconds and meditation or anything like that. But they come here and we don't ask them. Their parents don't ask them, but they will jump up and down. So he said it's a spontaneous thing coming from the soul. So that's all we need to do is to chant the holy names of Krishna and dance in ecstasy. He said, but if you want philosophy, we have so many books. But otherwise, he said, you can simply dance and chant in ecstasy. You go back to Godhead like that. So Jagannath was very merciful to me. I went into the temple in the Lion's Gate. Walked into Jagannath. I'd just been to Puri. I didn't know nothing about anything. So I thought, I just walked straight in, and all of a sudden, and I was about 10, 15 feet back, and this policeman had just charged me. You can't come in here, he said. Malaka, or Yavana, whatever he said. You can't come in here, you're a non-Hindu. Oh, was I angry. Because I was supposed to be a sadhu on a, you know, and yes, I'm on a peace and love trip, you know, looking for God. And then this guy, physically, you don't mean miles back. I was angry. I said, do you think God only lives in a heart with a person with brown skin and some paint on his face? But I could, he can understand me, I could understand him. Anyway, I didn't argue with him because he had his stick. I'm going to get in the other gate. So I ran all the other gates, one after another, but as soon as they saw me, they came running around. But it is said that sometimes, especially in Vrindavan and also other places, if you get some punishment or something, it's a good thing. In Vrindavan, if someone goes to Vrindavan to spend his life there, the old sadhus go there. And when the new sadhus are there, the kids start throwing stones at you, often. Nature of kids, right? They see someone new wandering around doing madhukari. That's a very, very good sign. They throw stones at you if you're a new man. It means that Krishna's interested in you. This is the sign. So by Jagannath's mercy, he gave me a little bit of punishment, although I was angry. But when I met the devotees there, the next day I saw the devotees. And they were and they were chanting and doing in front of the Rasa there. So by Jagannath's mercy, you know, I asked the devotees, why are you chanting Krishna and Ram's name? Why not Vishnu, Brahma, Mahesh? This is the Trinity. This is the topmost in Hinduism, the Trinity. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Shiva, Brahma, and Vishnu. Why are you not chanting their names? And Nibhata said, we chant Krishna's name because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I was completely stunned. I thought, nobody ever told me that before, God was a person. I've been meeting so many sadhus, and nobody ever told me God was a person. And he said, I had nothing to say. Usually I have so many arguments, I would come back with so many arguments and questions. But I was completely stunned. Nobody ever told me that before. And so then they showed me Prabhupada's Gita. I was reading Gita already, but my about Gita. But when I saw Prabhupada's Gita, I was looking, I had so many questions from Gita. When you put person at the end, it makes so much sense. Otherwise all the other Gitas, you know, it all gets a bit abstract. You go up to the unknowable, untouchable, and no form. And it's all 99% Mayavad. Everything else has to. But when you put a person there, then it makes sense. Your questions make sense. If there's a person in control of everything. Here everything is, nothing is happening without a person. Everything is made by persons. And then you get a whole creation and there's no person. It doesn't make sense. So all of the questions, they make sense when you relate there's a person behind everything. It makes sense. And it doesn't make sense when there's no person behind it. So this was Prabhupada's greatness, his kindness, that how he was able to spread Krishna consciousness and influence because he was a devotee. That's why. Prabhupada was a devotee, he could do it. It's so rare their association. Non-devotees, what can they do? They can simply confuse everything and be baffled in their attempts again and again. They will be. I was in Hrishikesh, listened to that, was it Shivananda? Used to be a famous ashram there at that time. Listened to the sannyasis lecturing. So many sadhus I was meeting asking questions. Cultured men, Indian, Bharatabhumi, Hoyla Shay Manush, they taken birth in Bharatabhumi, Punabhumi, the pious land of India. And not only cultured, but they've taken sannyas, they've renounced everything. Good speakers, sadhus. They didn't tell me that Krishna was the Supreme Personality. They didn't tell me I was Krishna's servant. And I meet a new bhakta. He was in Australia. Prabhupada said, I've left, when he was installed the deities there, he said, I've left you in the hands of the Malechas. Please take care of them, something like that. Please, may you be not be insulted or something. But I've left you in the hands of the Malechas. This Malecha, Australian, new bhakta, the first thing he told me, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the big sadhus, and they've gotten that position by previous births, many, many births. They didn't tell me. The potency of a Prabhupada, of a pure devotee. And the Malechas. He told me. Of course, he wasn't a Malecha at that time. But he'd only been in the movement a little while. But he knew that fact, that Krishna was the Supreme Person. He knew that he was Krishna's eternal servant. And he knew that he should engage in Krishna's service for Krishna's satisfaction. And nobody else knows. So all mental speculation. Anyway, by Jagannath's mercy, then I joined at that time. So it's a... Jagannath is very... Of course, Patita Pavan is actually right there at the gate, right? You know, the Sringadora, the lion's gate. There's a form of Jagannath there. This is, we can see that. Anybody can see that. He's Patita Pavana, everybody. So, right in his presence, and that policeman beat me up practically. So Jagannath had a big smile on his face. So. I took it as his mercy that he was interested. Blessing of the Lord. I got slapped through the policeman. Pondarik got slapped directly. Pondarik didn't need it. Jagannath slapped me through the policeman. But it was worth it. Okay. Jagannath Swami ki jai. Jagannath Rati Atma Mahotsav ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shambhita Bhaktivinda ki. Siddhaya Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you.